previously on Abject Suffering.
God, I love the $5 fill up as like a concept. It's very funny to me. I just need to be filled.
Fill me up. You know, you, like I sub in wedges because who the fuck is going to eat mashed potatoes in their car? I'm not a criminal.
You know how you're just saying how you don't eat mashed potatoes in your car? I was on the bus the other day, and a woman took out a yogurt and a spoon and ate yogurt.
That makes sense.
I think doing yogurt on a bus, like anytime if you have silverware for a bus meal,
that's what go-gurt is for. So the pro move with the go-gurt is to bite the end off of it like you're pulling the pin out of a grenade.
Or a cigar.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's a good way to ruin a cigar.
Yeah, but it's a great way to start a go-gurt, man.
Yeah.
Do you want to continue this directly into the next episode, where we also don't have very much to talk about?
Yeah, let's do that. What's more upsetting, somebody eating yogurt with a spoon on the bus, or somebody pulling out a rotisserie chicken?
Ooh, I've seen both.
See, that's the thing, right? Like, I have definitely seen, not rotisserie, but I've seen somebody eat bone-in fried chicken on a bus before.
Yeah.
First off, that's delicious. Fried chicken is good no matter where you eat it. I understand the idea.
I like how you said that, like, that was ever a point of contention in this conversation. Like, listen, Cole, you cannot eat fried chicken at a wedding. Like, it doesn't taste good.
No, it turns to ash in your mouth.
It just doesn't taste very good. Like, the greatest spice is kitchen. Kitchen ambiance, or perhaps dining room, but never on a mini golf course. It just doesn't taste as good.
Well, no, you can't eat fried chicken on a mini golf course because you're gonna get the clothes, you're gonna get the putter all greasy.
That's actually 100% true. Yeah. It is not a cleansly food. I guess like that's that would be the tiebreaker, right? So like at least yogurt with a spoon, you are you're not getting the whole bus all greased up. Whereas like bone-in fried chicken,
yeah,
you're either getting yourself like your clothing. You know, unless you like brought napkins and stuff, and then what is this, a fucking picnic? You're just going to 82nd Street. You don't need to, you know, don't need that. But you're just not getting everything quite as messy.
Yeah. What makes that acceptable to me is the fact that it is a snack. You know, like it's, I see public transit, you know, fried chicken is a meal, whereas you know, like yogurt is a snack, right?
Yes.
So that makes that less weird to me. Although, just the idea, like is that a spoon that you just always carry? What do you do with the dirty spoon? Do you have a bag to put the spoon in?
So she put it in her purse.
Oh, that's no.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. I didn't write this. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, she put it back in her purse. Do you remember? Do you ever read the children's book, Dear Mr. Henshaw?
No.
It's like a classic. It's a classic. It's like the first like. It's like Baby's First Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's like the first epistolary novel, okay, like a lot of kids read. There's a part where the kid and his single mom, who he's talking to Mr. Henshaw, his teacher, they get KFC and they forgot to include plastic spoons. So they end up using the chicken bones to like eat mashed potatoes.
Okay.
And it's such a vivid thing that's stuck. It's like the only thing I remember about that book, other than that it was all letters. It was just like the scene of this mom and this kid like dipping chicken bones into mashed potatoes. And,
ooh,
you know, kind of unsavory. Even as a kid, I was just like, ugh. You know, like gristle and stuff. Like, a bone is not a spoon.
No, what are you doing?
You know, Dear Mr. Henshaw, is a bone a spoon? No, you little idiot. F minus.
Drop out of school.
Yeah, like, it's done. Rich. Like, you're done. Not enough third grade teachers are just like, you're done. Like, out.
You know what? Spill. I'm not gonna cry over spilt milk here. I'm not going to throw anything.
When you're in third grade, they put you into two tracks: the yogurt track and the go-gurt track. And it's largely dependent on what you can handle a spoon. If you can handle a spoon, you go on the yogurt track. And in the future, you have Greek yogurt, fage. You have fruit on the bottom, fruit on the top. You have everything.
You can graduate
on the go-gurt track. You get neon tubes of mystery, and yep, that's all you get to eat. And you can't make a mess because there's no implements, and the whole thing is its own like vessel and silverware.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely definitely a problem. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit distracted here because I mean, so that book, Dear Mr. Henshaw, written by Beverly Cleary. Everybody is, you know, most people have probably read a Beverly Cleary book.
Sure.
First, I had no idea that she wrote the books that became the basis for Leave It to Beaver. Second, she has a book called Ribsy, which is which is about a dog. Ribsy, which is a very good name for a dog.
Here is the first time I noticed there was like I saw a breakout character because there was the main book and then Super Fudge showed up. Like he became the star of the sequel. The first one was about the main character, and then Super Fudge took the spotlight.
Oh yeah, I mean like if it was a fan fiction, that would have been the Mary Sue. Super Fudge came in and just like, nope, this is mine now.
Everyone loves Super Fudge for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything more to say about Beverly Cleary, but I was like, who wrote this book? And it's like, oh yeah, that her.
Yeah. What is the most like odious bus food?
The most odious. I mean, anything with onions.
Okay. Like you're using odious as a literal sense, like something that like smells bad. Not just like what would be the grossest thing in kind of an abstract sense to eat.
Okay. Okay. I'm basing a lot of this. I don't ride the bus, but I'm on more planes than buses, which is not really a
matter. They're similar though.
Yeah. But like anything with onions is far more odious on a plane because you are sealed in.
Yeah.
Right.
And you ever see somebody pull out some tuna salad on a plane?
It's awful. It's the worst.
Yeah. Like it's just like, come on, dude. We have a social contract here.
Tuna salad is, I think, maybe offensive to more senses than most other kinds of food.
Yeah, tuna salad. And I don't actually dislike tuna salad so much to eat. I just realize that it's not for polite company.
Yeah,
it's like an ortolan, but just for everyone.
you need to eat this under a sheet so you can hide your shame from God.
Yeah, like if you're the person microwaving a tuna melt at work, you have to wear a Cobra Commander shroud.
Yeah,
lest you be struck down to hell.
Yeah, tuna salad is like a dream. Like it is just for you. Like if you are inflicting this dream on somebody else, you know, by recounting it, then you are a criminal and you should be taken to jail.
Yeah. You fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Henshaw should have raised you right.
You've got Go-Gurt written all over you, son.
You're time to join the Go-Gurt gang, Squirt. That can be your Go-Gurt nickname. That's right. You get a new Go-Gurt name when you join the Go-Gurt gang.
The old you is dead.
Here's the big boss, Squeeze. Squeeze. Here's Squirt. Tear. Skate.
Skate.
The portability. And
so Skate is the Super Fudge of the Go-Gurt gang.
Yeah, Skate eventually gets his own breakout Go-Gurt.
I think Skate insists on himself too much.
A spin-off Go-Gurt. Go-Go-Gurt.
Yeah, no. You asked that question as though you had an answer. What is the most odious bus food?
I think, as far as just in concept, like smell-wise, like tuna salad, right? And like that's gross in a lot of senses. And if someone's just eating it, not a sandwich, but they're just like eating it with a spoon, like that would like literally make me gag.
Oh, like spooning it out of a deli container?
Yeah, that's really gross to me. Yeah. But the actual like thing that I think that it is more conceptually think would be like chicken wings, like barbecue chicken wings. You know, maybe served out of a Ziploc.
If you're doing a small Tupperware, if you're doing chicken wings right, on occasion, there's going to be a Gallagher-esque splash zone.
Like, yeah. You know, yeah. And you're just going to look like you devoured a baby on the bus. Like you're going to look like you had a heap and help in a Super Fudge.
Right. Right. Like the Adventures of Pete and Pete taught us that eating chicken wings as neatly as possible is not necessarily not necessarily within the spirit of the endeavor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is an endeavor with a spirit. Like it's one of those foods that has a lifestyle brand associated with it.
Yeah.
And not every food does.
Yeah. It needs to be maintained, you know, otherwise it dies.
Yeah. So what were we talking about?
We were talking about Go-Gurt and cigars. Cigar-Gurt. So I smoke two cigars every year, and both of them are at Oktoberfest. You know, because you're sitting outside in a beer garden and you're already engaging in pretty much every vice. You're you're putting a lot of meats and breads into your body. You are overindulging in food. You're sitting outside, so you might as well smoke one of those things. And like literally, that is my knowledge. I know how to cut, light, and smoke a cigar. I don't know what a good cigar is or what a bad cigar is. I've definitely smoked cigars to the point where I've gotten sick. Like there's like too much nicotine in this, and I need to go throw up. But
there's a value proposition involved in a cigar.
Yeah,
where like what you're getting versus what you risk.
The thing is, and you have to be comfortable with this. You have to be ready to bail out of a cigar before it's done. You cannot be a completionist.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have to go down with that ship.
Right.
The thing I think, you know, because this dovetails really well into everything except for the game we're talking about this week. But we were talking about that bus thing, because I find cigars to be one of the rudest activities you can partake in in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we talk about like, you know, microwaving a tuna salad sandwich, this is something that like this is equivalent easily.
No, it like definitely,
you are making everyone around you smell a pretty intense stink for your pleasure laughing about it.
It ruins a zone. Is what it does. And the thing is, you have to go over with the other people who are doing it, and it's often like when we do it, it is often like over in a corner, like it, you know,
yeah,
there's only even, so even much then, you can like, do.
Like you can't even then, you don't have like a series of like HEPA filters
right
around, you know, so it's like it's still getting out there, and people do it in generally, and like there's degrees of odiousness to it. Like if it's just somebody, like, you know, at this Oktoberfest, one guy just walking around smoking a cigar,
mm-hmm.
super fuck that dude.
Yeah.
And then there's like one person who just is smoking a cigar by himself and tries to go in the corner, and that's like a little sad, but it's not as rude.
Uh-huh.
And then usually it's groups, and that it still makes like you're still ruining a zone.
Right.
You know, like you know, it's still a little bit rude. I'm not necessarily calling you out. This is just how I think about cigars in general. And I've smoked a cigar before. Like I've partaken in this specific rude vice.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it as a kind of a group, and then it just kind of becomes okay by way of a lot of people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like social strength in numbers.
Yeah,
you know, that you get with that. But it's real weird thing, and there's the angelic corollary to it, which is a pipe, because a pipe like is visually more pleasant. It's not associated with like murderous Robin Barons and like, you know,
Robin Barons. I'm sorry, I just pictured a very cute little drawing, like a woodcut of a story, like a woodcut storybook about a Robin Baron.
I love Robin Baron. Robert Baron, you don't look like you're closing on orphanages, and also it just like smells better.
Right.
Like
right.
Pipe smoke is more of a, it's also like, it's not, you know, a lot of people could just prefer air, and I get that.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't smell like I've never smelled a cigar that doesn't just smell like just like a stink,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it is a bad smell. You know, and sometimes pipe smoke smells like a little bit like a pleasant vape.
You know? It's like a real, especially pastry-esque vape.
Yeah, like one, like something in a dessert vape.
Can I get something in an after dinner vape?
Yeah, which is real.
I would believe anything anybody said about vape.
Yeah, me too. I don't know enough about it, but
but yeah, I you know, it is a sometimes thing.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I've thrown up way too many times on cigar. Like even when I chewed, and chewing is a really, really fast way to get a lot of nicotine into your body at once,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like to start chewing, you have to get over the wall where like, I'm just going to throw up occasionally while I do this. It is a terrible thing to start doing, and nobody should ever do it.
It's such a weird thing to think about you doing that specifically.
Yeah.
With like your fastidiousness and aversion to throwing up.
Yeah, for 3 years of my life in college, I just decided it was okay to have bottles of my spit in my room.
Yeah, so stupid.
I know, right?
So it sounds like somebody, like you got a shadow out of time for a few years. You
know? Yep. Hello, I am human.
Yeah, that's like definitely what it sounds like. Right?
Yeah, it is very different from the from the me that you know. But even when I was putting as much nicotine into my body as quickly as possible, a cigar would still get me. It would still make me as sick as possible.
Cigars, earlier when you were like, they're not a sausage, they kind of are, though, because it is a blend of like mm-hmm. things. So yeah. Sometimes it's a bunch of nicotine, but who really knows everything that's in a cigar, right? Like there's an artisanal nature to it,
yeah.
to how they make it, where they can add things that maybe your body's just disagreeing with as well.
Yeah, or like different ways that they cure the tobacco. Like if you get something like a qualifier on a cigar, is like, oh, is this sun grown? Like is this you know, like a particular, like, and yeah, just like, it is incredibly potent, incredibly dense tobacco, more so than you would get like just in a regular one, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, and as crazy, so cigar smoke is vile, just like every,
like smoke is
yeah.
vile.
Yeah. Just like any kind of smoke. I was driving through, through a town up by my hometown a little while ago. Recently passed a tobacconist that was called the Ashtray. Why in the world would you name your tobacco? Why in the world would you name your tobacco shop after the least appealing aspect of the thing that you sell?
That's really rough. Yeah. Yeah. That's gross. Head down to the ashtray.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nasty.
So back to the original point, even though cigar smoke is vile, whenever I go to a place that has a humidor, I will walk into the humidor and just breathe deep, because just a bunch of cigars in a room smells glorious to me.
It's weird that, like, yeah, cigar smells a lot better than a cigar smoke.
Right.
You know, and there's a little bit of, you get a little bit of that, like, when you smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's, like, a intense and quick, like, sense deadening.
Yeah.
That happens, that stops you from smelling like the bad part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something that was very strange about going to Milwaukee recently, was that people were smoking indoors.
Yeah.
Very quickly get used to the opposite of that.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, sign me up. Like, yeah. I wish that law had been around my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that law was around everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's fucking gross, man.
It seems very strange in the year 2018.
Yeah.
I think even Kentucky has outlawed smoking indoors. What in the world are you doing, Wisconsin?
Yeah. it's such a weird place in general.
Yeah.
You know, like the rules apply there in an odd way, kind of across the board.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. This week we are barely talking about the game Castles.
Yes.
Which was suggested. This was a duck stream. This is a duck stream demand by our friend Jeremy mm-hmm. Greer.
He talks about it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. During a recording session for Radio Free Midworld, I wondered if anyone had made a real life version of the game Castles, which is referenced by Roland and Jonas in the book Wizard and Glass. I did a quick YouTube search and found this horribly boring looking game. It seems like it was maybe designed to punish kids for liking video games.
Don't get into it too much. Right?
fucking chill.
Yeah. What does Roland do in play video games? Is that guy, like, when he goes to the real world, does he get into video games?
No, it's not a video game. Castles is like a chess variant.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That is played on a bit more of a complicated board. It's basically just chess.
Gotcha. So in the book, it's not a video game.
No.
What Jeremy was wondering was whether somebody had made a video game adaptation imagining of what, of the fake chess type game.
Right. Right. So either a video game adaptation of it, or like if they just recreated the board game. You know,
I like chess type game. Like, I am a king. Now, I'm gonna take your pawn somehow. I don't know, the queen's a powerful one. Okay. So yeah. That makes sense. And this does, like, this was not made to punish kids for liking video games. This was made for adults, because it's DOS, baby.
Uh-huh.
This was for, like, cool 20-year-old dungeon masters to play.
Oh, this is totally for uncles.
Yeah, and it's a good game for uncles, dude. Like, I was kind of into this. Like,
yeah.
This made me want to play it, and you can get, there's a remake on Steam,
mm-hmm.
and you can get 1 and 2 on GOG.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different ways to play, like, a version of this that is made to run on modern systems, and I considered it greatly.
Yeah. So the version that I played for this, just so people are wondering, I got the like, just whatever was on, like, my abandonware or whatever. Got downloaded the DOS version, ran it in Boxer, which was fine. I'm definitely considering getting the Steam version.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can do the GOG version that'll, if it runs on Mac. Or what have you, because it includes the first two games,
mm-hmm.
instead of just the first one, and it's cheaper.
Oh yeah,
the GOG version or the Steam version is somehow $10, which I think is a lot for a 1991 like PC port.
I thought the Steam version was updated.
It doesn't look updated. It might be. I just, from screenshots, it didn't look like it was, though.
Okay.
If it is, it said port in there. There's only two reviews, weirdly enough. Like, it doesn't have a lot of action, but one of them was like, this is a lot for a port.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so I don't actually know the answer to that, but it seemed like from screenshots, it was the same thing.
Yeah. So castles, it is kind of a combination builder slash resource management slash strategy game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it involves you like building a castle.
Mm-hmm.
Like you most of the time you send, you know, I didn't play it for that long because it's Abject Suffering, but like, and because again, I like similar to last episode, I was like, maybe I'll go back to this.
Mm-hmm.
You build your castle while, and then kind of random events and wars kind of happen, but mostly it's about designing this castle.
Yeah. So like, and it has that thing that I enjoy in a strategy game, which is like you define the bounds of where your castle is going to be, and then you hire different kinds of workers, set their wages, and then that determines how they fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the same thing applies to like your military and stuff. So like you are managing basically your burn rate and also setting your taxes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and every once in a while, random events kind of pop up.
I love those.
Like
things.
Similar to King. Yeah. I like those things too. Like King of Dragon Pass, where like sometimes, you know, just like, hey, here's this criminal, you know, who's running about, like, give me 50 men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go round them up, and you know you can do that. It costs you some men, but if you don't do that, there might be ramifications. Like it's got that kind of fun, you know, simulation aspect.
Yeah, you know, like it's narrative based. Like they have trapping over it, but it's like asking you to do trade offs. Like,
yes.
Oh, here is a group of performers who are coming by, but
like King of Dragon Pass.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a group of performers that are coming by, like, but some of them have been excommunicated. Is it worth pissing off the church to make your workers happy?
Right. Yes.
By permitting them to put on a show.
So it's like playing Reigns in a shorter version, you know, yes. Or like Reigns in like a primitive version of Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Is Reigns good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. You'd love it. Like it is. I haven't played the new one yet. I really want to, the Her Majesty one.
Mm-hmm.
I've only played the original. I haven't played the other one because I've kind of fallen out of like phone gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I keep buying phone games and not playing them.
Yeah.
It's ceasing to become a place where I play games. And I don't know why.
Yeah. I've weirdly like fallen way back into it. Freeways was my way back, but I was also like, huh, it's been a while since I played like an idle game.
Yeah.
And so like I picked up, like Deep Town, and I also did like Fallout Shelter again. Is Reigns like that, or is it more?
No. It's much more active. Like essentially it's a real bare bones like simulation. Like you are managing meters like you are in most simulations,
mm-hmm.
but it has the language of it is entirely choose your own adventure choices by way of Tinder mechanics. It is swipe left and swipe right. And that is all you do, but it's just a series of yes or no kind of questions that are really interesting and funny. Like the game is really funnily written, and apparently the new one is funnier too, so like nice. If you know, it's probably something you probably start with the new one.
Mm-hmm.
But the and I know there's some contention on that. I think actually Jeremy is the person I know who like doesn't like the second one. I could be wrong about that, but he didn't like the second one as much. Other people like the second one a lot. So I've heard both things. I haven't tried it myself, but
yeah,
you it gives you kind of a vague goal, which is kind of great. Like you start a new reign. It's kind of like a roguelike as well. Mm-hmm. Because you do unlock stuff as you go through, and you die a lot. And it'll be like, you know, meet the Necromancer King.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that run, there might be a choice that could lead to the Necromancer King if you make the right choices.
Yeah.
While you're also balancing your citizenry, you know, to make sure they don't rebel or you go to war and lose your kingdom or all these different lose conditions. Like, yeah. It's great. It is perfect for a phone. Like,
yeah.
You pick it up, you do a run in a few minutes, you get some laughs, you see some funny stuff, and then you just put it down and it's always there for you.
Yeah,
like it's really great.
So this is ridiculous and apropos of nothing, but like I'm looking just at the iTunes, the iTunes store, like I just clicked on Devolver Digital. How the fuck is that publisher so on point? Like I'm looking at this and like there's nothing here that I don't like.
The they have a really good kind of track record for picking them.
Yeah. That is related to nothing, but I like these choice things. I like them even when they popped up in Vegas games for the SNES. Like I hated playing the casino games on that, but I loved every time somebody would come up and say like, oh, I need so and so, I've got a hot lead, you know, and you know, I'm going to I need $20 to bet on this horse, you know, I'll give you the proceeds, you take your risk, right?
Yeah
yeah
yep, yep, yep. Yep, yep. The Yeah. So the they've done really well. I just got distracted because I couldn't remember where I was gonna go with that. I don't think I have anything extra with Devolver.
Yeah. Devolver.
I'll tell you a secret. I'll tell all your secrets to other people. Through email. I'm Devolver Digital. I'm a texter.
Yeah.
Your affairs. Yeah. I was trying to think in my mind, the reason why I had that mental hiccup was I was trying to think of where I keep seeing that logo recently. Mm-hmm. And they published the I think they just published it in general, but they definitely did the Switch port of Enter the Gungeon, which has been my like go-to game I've been doing instead of doing homework I should be doing.
That's a good video game. Yeah.
It's a great, like it's made me like the game more because I played it and liked it, but I was like, oh, this is too hard. I can't do it. And now I've gotten over that initial hump. Like I'm into second phase Gungeon now and enjoying it a lot more.
Yeah. I like me like an Isaac with a dodge mechanic.
Yeah. The dodge mechanic helps a lot. I still, it's interesting. I was talking about this on Twitter. Like, There's things about that game that make me appreciate Isaac so much more, like little things I didn't consider the design decision going into with Isaac, but are actually huge. Like the fact that Isaac, for each type of floor, you do two levels of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like that there's two basement, two depths, you know, two catacombs, you know, two caves, things like that.
Yeah.
The fact that they do those in two flattens out this difficulty curve because in Gungeon, like I don't know, how far have you gotten into Gungeon?
Not very. I'm not good at that game.
It's hard. Like it's extremely hard. And one of the reasons it's hard is that like in between levels, there's this huge difficulty jump.
Mm-hmm.
So like the difference between levels 2 and 3 is huge. And the difference between 3 and 4 is huge.
It's more like in the Spelunky vein. Yeah. Where you go to a new biome and it's like, well, fuck you.
Yeah. Which is part of the reason, you know, something I don't like about Spelunky as well. Like I like that flatter approach, you know, so having those double like things allows you to like gain power for twice as long.
Yeah.
Before you go to the harder section, and the section is not quite as harder. Like the second set of floors in Isaac is not commensurately harder than the first, the same way the third floor is harder than the second in Gungeon.
Yeah.
You know, so I like a smoother difficulty curve.
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, and it's like, I don't feel like that's a weird thing to like. It feels like that just kind of video games, right? Like good video games tend to have good, you know, smooth difficulty curves.
Yeah. Yeah. But also like that particular genre of games, and especially something that is of an ethos that Gungeon is, like there are people who will go to them for the unevenness because they want to feel that burn.
Well, yeah, there's a weird masochistic.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want it to not be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can get to that event, that hardness eventually, but just being like, you know, having that immediate like fuck you is not appealing. And we got into that a lot in Bonfireside Chat too, right? Like, you know, that's part of the reason why it wasn't just that the Ringed City was BS. It was that it was so much harder and more hostile than what had become before it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can do interesting things with that. Like I like it in Dark Souls 1. Like if you go to the wrong place, it's really hard. Go down to Skeleton Town, it's a bad scene.
Yeah.
That's good because you don't have to go to Skeleton Town. But if you actually just go to the levels in the intended order, like the difficulty curve is actually very smooth in that game.
Yeah, it brings you along with it as opposed to just like pancaking you, like just boom.
And that game has a reputation for being very hard and is very hard as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just it like I think being eased into something that's very hard is much more appealing to me than just being dropped into something that's like deadly hard.
Yeah,
you know, but you're right. There are people who just like they just seek that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they just get different. They get different things from games than I do.
Which is fine. And like, I'm really enjoying it. Like I've been like weirdly obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. So once I got past that point, like it's a real, like one more run kind of situation for me recently.
Yeah.
So the, anywho, Castles, I have almost nothing to say about this game and there's nothing about it online.
Right,
it's just
right.
A fun little castle sim. I like building castles. I was a kid who was obsessed with castles. Mm-hmm. I had that, David McCauley book. I think castles are cool.
Yep.
I love it. It's one of my favorite locations in a video game. If it's like well designed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a realistic, like with actual rooms and sense of place, like castle, I think is very fun.
Yeah. I would definitely like to visit more castles than I have visited.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, again, like Infinite Muddy and, you know, a total lack of morality.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a, you know, I would buy one.
Of course. Like that is the dream, right? Where you buy like a castle up in the moors of Scotland. And you just go up there and nobody comes around again.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I'm looking at this and I know that there are castles in Ohio.
Like really?
They have definitely built these, like I'm going to a state park. There's a place called Ravenwood Castle that is very close to the state park that I'm going to next weekend.
You should go to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now that I am not employed, I want to use some of my free time to go see more things. So I want to go hit up some of these castles. But like what I really want to do, and I talked about this when we did that episode, you did the Gabriel Knight 1 tour. I want to do the Gabriel Knight 2 tour.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would do that as well. Yeah. And I go to the Bavaria, and that one's set up like explicitly like a tour.
Uh-huh, I know.
But there's a museum. I want the real tour, thing. That one has multiple museums.
Yeah. I want to do that. Wasn't enough. It just pissed me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that. And eventually, you know, I need to play it again, but the Gabriel Knight 3 tour would also have, I mean, mostly that there's a lot of like kind of bland Adobes, but you get to see some vampire shit. So
Yeah.
And the Grail, I think you get to see the actual Holy Grail, which I should like to see at some point. I wouldn't turn it down.
No.
Somebody was just like, hey, you want to see the Grail 2 bits? And I'm like, all right, I'll pay you a bit and a half.
Okay. I will pay half now and then half upon receipt of the Grail.
Upon seeing said Grail.
Yeah. But yeah, this is like this is a fun game. Like I had to stop myself from playing it more. It's a little bit hard to figure out just because, you know, it is DOS and you're playing, you know, like any of these DOS games you fire up, especially of this ilk, you know, that has complexity built into it. You know, you are going to be a little bit out of your depth for a bit.
Yeah. And the music is incredibly hostile.
The music is so,
it's very funny.
It is so like classic Sound Blaster. Like I was listening to one track. I thought it was glitched because there was just one sustained note that was playing through the entire track.
Yeah. It's that's intentional. That's a feature.
Yeah.
I actually had to turn it off and I kind of live for that shit.
Yeah.
So the, you know, a bad PC music thing I will suffer through because it is bad and funny to me.
Uh huh.
And it had to go.
Yeah. No. Had to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about Castles too. Like the this might actually be a GOG purchase for me.
Or Castles 3. Like the series continue on. I'm sure it got, even if it doesn't, it might have done the PC game thing where like it lost some of what makes it special, but it you know, got easier to use. That might be a trade off that's worth it in this series.
It's possible.
You know?
Runs on Mac too. I mean, makes sense. It's DOSBox. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
What is that? So I would like to be in a castle. I would like to own a castle at some point. I would like to live in a castle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we had like the Duckfeed castle, right?
Cool.
Like we get the $400,000 a month Patreon goal to like own several castles or whatever.
Okay.
All right. That's really it. I just think it'd be cool to do.
Okay. I'll go in and add that tier.
Okay. Like, nothing, it's free to add a tier.
Yeah.
You know, we could add the we own a castle tier. Yeah. I mean,
we bought a castle.
We bought a castle and turned it into a zoo.
Well, mostly by not knowing how to take care of a castle. And like, mostly like most of the animals in the zoo are just varmints.
Yeah, they just live there anyway. Yeah. It's mostly bugs and rats.
Yeah.
The I would love to like a video, like how cool would it be to have like a video game that was you go through a castle zoo and it's all those illustrations of like 1800s animals that didn't quite exist, like the weird lion with a human face turning to the left and
the weird monk illustrations.
Yeah, the things that would end up on in the margins of maps.
Yeah.
You know?
So we would have to hook up with some kind of like Dr. Moreau to make this happen.
Oh, I said it early on. I said this was a video game.
Oh, okay.
Like a little indie game. Woo! That was just that experience. But we can also make some animals if you're
right.
If you're down to make some animals, dude.
Okay. No. I was just saying. I know.
I'm always down to clown with the concept of playing God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think that'd be fun. You know.
Yeah, I think it would be cool either way.
Yeah.
Even if it meant like meeting a Dr. Moreau and having him do that, if I felt like he was firm, like Dr. Moreau is a good friend and a bad enemy. You know, like true. I feel like if I was firmly on my side, I would still be down for that. Like, show me what you've been working on, Doc.
Yeah, just show me, like, just to take me into the back room where the real fucked up stuff happens.
That'll give you the secret knock.
Yeah,
you know, to show me the manimal hybrids that have not yet, you know, that aren't cleared by the USDA.
for human consumption.
For human you know, visibility.
Okay. Yeah.
What did Dr. Moreau, did he take animals and turn people into half animals? Like, did it require like was it like Homer's jacket with the leather patches on the thing? He ruined two jackets.
He just ruined two perfectly good creatures.
Yeah, did he do that, or was it like one would just kind of morph? Like, did he take an animal and turn it into a manimal, or take a man and turn to a manimal, or did he take a man and an animal and turn them both into a manimal?
So here is my, that's not a secret shame. I've never read the story, and I've also never seen any of the movies. Like, I am aware of the Dr. Moreau concept, but I've never firsthand experienced the island of Dr. Moreau.
I too have not been on such isle.
So I don't have an overwhelming, okay. So whatever answer is the most unpleasant, then yes, that would be the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, the more unpleasant one I think would be if you, it took two critters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and did that to them, because then two things are dying.
Yeah.
To create one abomination.
Well, I mean, and at that point we are just describing, like a teleporter accident.
Yeah. 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 But in a teleporter accident, like, do both consciousnesses stay? You know, or does something have to die for a teleporter accident?
I don't. So honestly, I don't know. If you're basing it off of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror version of The Fly, then yes, both consciousnesses stay. Right.
Yeah. Well, they don't. They won't both stay. They both. It creates two teleporter accidents.
Right.
Every teleporter accident ends up being. End up being both.
Yeah, it remixes both things with aspects, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one way to do it. And that happens in the actual The Fly as well, not just The Simpsons The Fly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the trick. Let's say a funny gaming anecdote.
Yeah.
From Tabletop Night.
Mm-hmm.
Levi is now running a game of Iron Kingdoms that is inspired by Dark Souls.
Yes.
So we're doing a Dark Souls style tabletop thing.
I feel weirdly like a voyeur because Riff talks about this a little bit on Video Games Hot Dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same game.
Uh-huh.
Same thing. And Ben, my friend and yours, Ben Krickenberger, who loves animals and only like plays characters who love animals in a weird way,
mm-hmm.
Is like super into animals, but also like every once in a while, like, we'll kind of check out and not pay attention, or we'll have just kind of a gobsmacking take on something. And last night, like, he went up in a tree and there were these wolves who wanted this humanity sprite, and he could have killed them, and he was like trying to tempt them because he wanted a peaceful resolution with these wild wolves.
Okay.
Which is a real classic Ben thing to do. Like, quite, you know, amusing because it's such a Ben trope, but kind of annoyingly waste a lot of people's time trying to get around something that it's just like, oh, this is a hungry wolf. Like, you can't make friends with it. It's
right.
Just an animal doesn't mean that it's going to be friendly, you know? Mm-hmm. So we did that. He ended up like killing one of them. He took its meat. And then we found like a shrine, and people would leave a sacrifice there. And he was like, we can just leave some of it and keep some of the meat for ourselves. And it was just like, that is not how a sacrifice works. You know, like it's not like the idea isn't just like, here's some cold cuts.
Right.
It's the life that you're sacrificing. Like that's not, you know, like what, like just being like, oh, like the you know, nothing's going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a really weird misunderstanding of the entire concept.
It's a sacrifice, not a snackrifice.
Yeah. I did make a sacrifice joke.
Oh, jeez.
It's okay. No, that's the last word, or like second last word in Atomic.
Okay.
Like snackrifice shows up a lot. I like that phrase a lot. So it was nuts. Like, mm-hmm. It was just like, man, this is not, do you not understand the concept of this? Like,
no. That sounds difficult to navigate.
Yeah, I wasn't mad or anything like that. It's just one of those things where, and he, you know, he's a good sport about it. Mm-hmm. It's just got a thing where, like, you know, we kind of gently poke fun at him because it's so on brand.
I don't know that I have anything more to say about castles.
Yeah, I'm kind of done.
Yeah,
kind of done with the castles. I liked it. I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when I'll get a chance to.
All the usual problems.
Yeah.
No. Well, we've had time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, that's, you know, and it's probably, I've got stuff.
I gotta eat.
Yeah. I have to do that as well. To go to my bank.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun chores to do.
Yeah.
Today.
Got to go look at some castles.
Yeah. Man, yeah. If you have a castle in Ohio, I feel like you should visit it.
Oh yeah. They're around. There's one quite close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check out that castle, and then we can do Castle Report.
Yes.
Like in a future episode that's like not about castles, like probably an episode about cigars or Go-Gurt. So there's a game about that. Yeah. So, yeah. Man, there's got to be a Go-Gurt game, right? Like Go-Gurt Team Racers or something like that. Like, If so, like, I might have to fast track this on one of my picks.
Wait a minute. Go-Gurt Boutique. Play kids games.
The Slow-Mo
games,
guys crushed a bunch of Go-Gurt. You'll play Go-Gurt Ninja Turtles Berry Bash. That's on Amazon. I don't need to buy Amazon yogurt. Go-Gurt Boutique. Yeah, there we go.
But it's not loading. The Nick.com isn't loading.
God damn it, Nick.com. I need the Go-Gurt.
I need it in me as quick as possible.
And also Go-Gurt Boutique, man. Like, that game, one of my favorite ever game, I'm sure I talked about this during the Chips Chant or the Chex Quest episode, was a Captain Crunch one. And I'm sure I told you this before, but I'll tell you again, because it's one of my favorite things my very funny friend Derek said.
Okay.
Where he was playing it, and the game involved you raising a crunchling to participate in some Olympic-style games and increase its stat and stuff. And you had three, like, nozzles where you'd give it Captain Crunch, Berry Captain Crunch, Berry Captain Crunch, or Peanut Butter Captain Crunch.
Okay.
And I was watching him play it, and they gave him different stats, and he kept, like, jumping around, even though, like, the hurdles were coming. I was like, you gotta get your crunchling to have good jumping power. And he's like, no, I need to get my crunchling a balanced diet. Like, the idea of it being a balanced diet to have all three types of Captain Crunch
right
was very funny to me.
I mean, that's what all three faucets on my sink do.
I would love that, man. I don't even do Captain Crunch, but I would still
hot and cold running crunch.
Yeah, like, oh man, hot crunch. Like, I would eat. I can tell that we do need to go, and I'm hungry because I would eat some hot Captain Crunch like right now.
just pour some like boiling hot milk over it.
Yeah,
it turns into instant slurry.
Yeah, I would be like one of those hot cereals.
Oh, like oatmeal. You know? Yeah,
like, yeah. Honey Bunch is a crunch. Like, I'm down with that. I'm gonna go hunt down some hot crunch.
Okay. we really need to go.
If people like the show, what can they do?
They can go to patreon.com/duckvtv. You can get bonus episodes of the show. Two of those come out every month, and you can also vote on the subjects of those. You can watch for those polls to go up.
Yeah. You can also rate and review the show, do iTunes stuff. You can follow us on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Gary Baugh on Twitter.
I'm Cole Ross on Twitter.
Yeah, been a little while since we talked about that, but join us on Twitter.
Yeah,
you could have heard my convenience store story 3 days before we recorded it.
Well before it happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not before it happened. If you have some kind of like haunted Twitter that you can read my Twitter profile and see what happens to me before it happens, like, please use that responsibility for good.
Yeah, I need to close this Nick.com tab because I'm looking for the Go-Gurt game, but I'm just mostly seeing a bunch of SpongeBob stuff.
Yeah, I want to see that Go-Gurt game.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Good night. Until next time. Who is like? I guess we already did Gurt Dog.
Yeah, we already did. So I mean, we can check back in with Gurt Dog. You go, Gurt.